with my colleague and friend, Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired aviator at Sagamore Institute. And we're discussing the Chinese submarine fleet. Now, I understand it is a challenge to the U.S. Navy's superiority in the Eastern Pacific. If there's in the East Asia, in Western Pacific, if there's anything that mitigates the Chinese intention to invade Taiwan, it's the submarine fleet, especially the Virginia class attack boats. But the Chinese are building attack boats that get credibility from the Wall Street Journal. I want to make sure I'm seeing the right thing. It's called the Shang class. Does that match up to the Virginia, Jerry?
No, we don't expect that it does. We think it would match up with some previous generations of our submarines, perhaps the Sturgeon class, the Permit class, perhaps even approaching some of our Los Angeles class, which are really fantastic fast attack boats, many of which are still actively serving in terms of their overall quietness. I don't believe that they come even close to the Virginia, and they're certainly not close to the three Seawolf class submarines that we built in the late 1990s and the early 2000s. However, the key here is the Chinese are making the right investments. They are understanding where the research and the science and the engineering is going, and they are working hard. And John, they have a tremendous industrial base and a tremendous research and development base. And so do not expect that the China will build a lot of a particular class of submarines. They will build a few. They will test, they will experiment, and then they will build more that are more advanced and quieter. You're going to see a rapid evolution of the Chinese underwater fleet over the next 10 to 15 years. I just hope that, quite frankly, conflict does not come at a time when we are significantly disadvantaged in this area.
Aircraft. You are very familiar with the range of aircraft that are participating in anti-submarine warfare. Do we have the right aircraft? Are we developing new types? And have we got enough of them?
So we have begun to develop the P-8 Poseidon aircraft, which was the replacement for the mighty P-3 Orion, the four-engine turboprop that I flew on for so many years. So they have a modified Boeing 737 jet now to do that mission. And it has a whole new generation of sensors. It uses very similar sonobuoys to what I used to have. And so we have those. I don't believe that we have enough of them, honestly. At the time that I was in, you know, we had a fleet of nearly 300 P-3 Orions, you know, spread out across 24 squadrons. We downsized very quickly after the Cold War. And right now we essentially have built up the P-8 inventory to match our post-Cold War inventory. We need to start growing back to our Cold War inventory levels because, John, we're going to need a lot of squadrons to be able to do this. When it comes time to what we call flap, where you get on top of an adversary submarine and you just maintain contact with it so that you know where it is and you maintain attack criteria around the clock. And right now I'm somewhat concerned that we don't have enough aircraft to do that. The other thing, John, is generally helicopters for close-in anti-submarine warfare. Helicopters with hydrophones suspended under them that they dip into the water, actively ping, and then again try to achieve attack criteria on a submarine. We need more of those as well.
Ballistic missiles. The Wall Street Journal indicates that China has developed or is developing a missile that can reach the United States from inside the first island chain, if I read that correctly. Do we have a counter to that?
The counter is to call it shoot the archer, not the arrow. If you believe that there's a threat of a ballistic missile launch, this is what we did for the entire Cold War. We tried to maintain either a fast attack submarine in trail on a Soviet Union ballistic missile submarine or a boomer to maintain a track criteria continuously, or we kept aircraft on top of it. The key point here is as they come out, if they start deploying these boomers and have the ability to range the United States, then we're going to need to maintain our fast attack boats and our aircraft in close proximity. That means operating inside the first island chain where China's going to have an advantage.
The Wall Street Journal features of overheads and maps, directions of something called the Bohai Production Plan. Did we know this existed? Is this brand new, Jerry? Because again, I'm calling back 10, 15 years of reporting. I don't remember this being mentioned earlier in the century.
John, we've known about the Bohai production plant for some time now. However, they've recently modernized and expanded it. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, China has 19 shipyards, and one of which at Jingnan actually has more production capacity than the entire U.S. shipbuilding industry combined. They have a huge shipbuilding industry. They have specialized areas where they're building submarines and aircraft carriers and their new Type 55 cruiser. We're watching all this in real time through overhead imagery. But this new expansion up in Bohai is really alarming, because what we're seeing is it's a really large industrial plant. And the components that they're beginning to lay out suggest that they're going to build a submarine, probably a ballistic missile submarine, a boomer, that's going to be significantly larger than anything that we've seen before, hence carrying many more missiles than what we've seen them carry before. So this is somewhat concerning as this comes together. But we have analysts, you know, who are watching this in real time, trying to figure out where they're going with their submarine production.
The Russians have a lot of technology. Is it being transferred to China?
John, this is the big question of the day, because Russia is and has been significantly ahead of the Chinese in submarine design all the way through. This has been the one thing that we've been watching, whether Putin was going to share it with the Chinese. Thus far, we have not seen evidence that the Russians have shared this. I mean, we kind of call this the crown jewels, submarine design, submarine propulsion units, the design of coatings and so on that that help to absorb sound. If Russia is, in fact, at that point, because they're feeling the pressure and they need Chinese help with things like Ukraine, if they are at the point where they are sharing vital submarine design capabilities, well, you know, that's a real problem for us, and it will cause problems. I mean, we will have to take some actions then against both.
We have a minute, Jerry. Last concern. How about their anti-submarine warfare? Because I remember that being especially poor in the early part of this century. Has it improved?
John, we haven't seen evidence of that. I am concerned because as I look at imagery of their aircraft and you start to see what types of antennas or external protuberances on their aircraft that they're doing, I'm beginning to see suggestions that they're moving towards new technologies that, quite frankly, are a little concerning to me. You know, anti-submarine warfare takes practice, and the Chinese have been hitting the practice fields quite a bit with exercises over the last couple of years.
Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired, an aviator. As he said, he flew anti-submarine warfare for years. He's the man to ask about that. Right now, my understanding is the U.S. Navy 1111, but it's early in the century. Jerry's at the Sagamore Institute. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.